catapults of propaganda. The truth out there.
Some alien race to come down and threaten us.
The military-industrial complex.
A highly funded yet unofficial government agency. Take the red pill.
If this were a dictatorship, it'd be a heck of a lot easier.
Welcome to PID Radio. I'm Derek Gilbert.
And I'm Sharon Gilbert, everybody, and welcome to our bungalow bunker here on the 39th parallel of Indiana.
Is Oprah Winfrey the most dangerous person in America today?
She's one of the most influential people in America today.
And she's using that influence to give a voice to false prophets and lying spirits. And we want to address that today because this is something that is affecting millions of people. As you hear this, millions of people signing up for her online webinar and watching her television show daily to be filled with a new age gospel that has been around for a long, long time. And we were very happy to see that one of our favorite and we think most discerning friends has addressed this and sees the same threat here that we do. And we welcome back Russ Dizdar of Shatter the Darkness Ministries. Russ, welcome back to PID Radio.
Hey, thank you for having me. It's great to be here with you and Sharon.
You know, we are so happy to have you back. I know you were just recently in California. You are a busy guy. You're always heading off to places. So thank you very much for taking the time out today. And we'll just pray that we make it through the whole interview without something going amiss, because every time we talk to you, something happens.
So it seems.
I know.
So what is Oprah doing right now that got that really caught your attention? And I see that you're putting together a five-part series on what she's doing right now at your website, shatterthedarkness.net. But what is it and why is this such a threat?
Well, it was just about a month ago or less even that I got a email from somebody actually out of, I believe, Indiana. And I really appreciated her sending me this because I had not yet read the book. And so I started looking into it, and I went out and, of course, bought the book and just delved into it. And the more I read, the harder I read it, I said, this is not just a matter of somebody promoting something, like peace and love and harmony, which that's the out, that's like the outward mask of this whole message.
Now, before we go too far, let's name the book.
Sure. The name of the book is A New Earth. Subtitle, Awakening Your Life's Purpose, and that's by Eckhart Tolle. And, of course, there's a lot of YouTube video things out and pieces and stuff, too. But the incredible thing, and probably the reason why it's being pushed so broadly, is Oprah Winfrey and her backing of this. And as you mentioned, the webinar and the last I heard, over 500,000 are already enrolled, and the book has now moved to 5 million or more in sales.
And there have been several million downloads of the online webcast files from her website.
Right.
So we're into the millions of downloads on that course that she and Eckhart Tolle are teaching.
Exactly. And again, looking at Eckhart, and seeing him on video, he seems a very peaceful man, but there is something amiss there too. And it's not a matter of just saying, hey, we need to bash this person it's too serious for that. It's too deep and too broad at the core, because it kind of, in the beginning, is trying to move you away from like religion and the ideas of old religion, but not to be like a new religion or something, but, if you read even the back of the book about Eckhart Tolle, he's three things about him. He's proclaimed as a major spiritual teacher. The second thing is that he has a message that he wants to take to the world, to the whole world. And then thirdly, he proclaims it as a mission. He's on a mission. And if you take a look at that, and then you see it, I really now see it as a counterfeit. I mean, a massive counterfeit to Jesus, who is the greatest spiritual teacher, and that there is a spiritual message there, and that there's a mission for the whole world. And Eckhart Tolle is motivated, and that's what I was looking for. What is his motivation? Where is it coming from? And I'm absolutely convinced now that he definitely has a clear and very powerful New Age spiritual force behind his ideology and teachings.
Russ, you've used the word spiritual a number of times, And that is a word that we hear Oprah using a lot. In fact, a lot of Hollywoodites use it. We hear it on television programs and in news. They'll use spiritual rather than religious or Christian or godly. Spiritual doesn't necessarily mean Christian.
Absolutely right. Absolutely right. And that's the, again, that's part of the danger, because anybody who had some kind of light level church in their background, because Eckhart Tolle does quote Jesus and make reference, and actually the title of his book, he proclaims that he got it from the book of Revelation when it refers to a new heaven and a new earth. But in every case, well, we'll talk about that, but in every case, when he quotes a scripture, it's completely and absolutely shredded from its original meaning, its depth, and then it's applied in this new age. And I call it a Luciferian. To me, it's the core of what we say is the Luciferian lie. And so spirituality is the buzzword. It really is. But what spirituality, or what's the source of that spirituality, is the major issue. Where is it going to take you?
Well, that's the key question. A lot of people will criticize Christians who point to anything that they don't see in the Bible and just, you know, just automatically dismiss it out of hand. But let's get into the nuts and bolts as to why this is a Luciferian deception. What is it that Eckhart Tolle is teaching, and why is it bad?
Primarily, he's teaching a way of salvation, but it's completely contrary. He even refers to it. He even says towards the part of the most dangerous parts in the last few pages of his book, in which he talks about there's no need to look for a future salvation. And again, it's a reference to what biblical salvation is all about. And he provides a separate or an alternative spirituality, an alternative salvation, an alternative new earth and new heaven, and even an alternative to the idea of fixing the dysfunction. He calls it a dysfunction within, that there's a dysfunction rather within us. And he says the Bible calls it sin, and he even says the Greek word means to miss the mark. Primarily, the Greek word harmatia does mean that. But he changes it again and says what it really means is to miss the point, that we are unawakened souls and that we need to look within and keep looking deep within to come to an awakening, a spiritual awakening, because there is a new evolution of human consciousness, you know, on the crest of the wave for the entire world.
So what he's saying, what he's saying then, that God is within us, that we are all God?
Ultimately, yes.
Well, that's a really old lie. That goes all the way back to the original one.
Exactly. That's just the issue. That's just the complete issue here, Sharon, because it's not a matter of some kind of light level, just positive spiritual information. This has its roots in Hinduism, the old gods and goddesses, the idea of pantheism. For Eckhart, in this book, God is an it, a force. God is all in all. We are God. The tree is God. God is in everything, that kind of thing. And that the dysfunction is that we become unaware. And that's our problem. That's the bad news, he calls it. We got to become aware, and the only way to do that is, you know, becoming quiet and still and looking within, and eventually coming to this awakening, awakening.
You know what really bothers me about this is there's a two-pronged front going on. We've got this sort of book from Tolle, which is just so obviously New Age when you look at it. As a born-again Christian with discerning eyes, it's easy to see it's New Age. But at the same time, we have the emergent church movement that is talking about a paradigm shift that is supposed to take place, this emergent church that, honestly, as far as I'm concerned, they are teaching not just pantheism but panentheism. It's not just God in everything, but everyone in God. Therefore, there's no need for salvation because you're already in God. You just need to realize it.
And to reinforce the point Sharon made, the language that's being used by New Age teachers like Eckhart Tolle and some of Oprah's other gurus like Marianne Williamson and her Course in Miracles and Marilyn Ferguson is being used by the guys in the emergent church like Brian McLaren.
And Sunday
at Elijah, yeah. With, again, a shift in consciousness that needs to take place. You're seeing New Age terminology being brought into the evangelical
Christian
church.
As if there's a big awakening that's about to take place.
Right.
Right. And see, this is, and what they, and what, and maybe what they don't even understand. Maybe they've been deceived themselves and caught up in this wave. I agree. And this is very important to hear. There is a wave, a spiritual wave. It's been prophesied, 2,000 years ago that there would be this emergence, a new spiritual emergence that would eventually take us to the most incredible alternative spirituality in human history. And that would be, at the very core, the same spoken alternative offered in Genesis 3. The issue, bottom line issue, just to be point blank, is trashing a living, personal, relational God and everything he is and everything he offers and accepting an alternative. And the alternative is puffed up to be exciting, but nobody's examined its logical conclusions, its sources, and where it's come from. It's the same old thing. When you hear the phrase, the evolution of human consciousness, or a new emergent, rise in human consciousness, a global awareness, a conscious universe type thing, and that we're becoming aware. Well, this is, we can go back to Alice Bailey, the occult writer. We can go back to the externalization of the hierarchy that she wrote about when the ascended masters explained to her about this coming emergent, wave, global wave of spirituality, which is the invocation. If anybody's read The Invocation of Lucifer, it's the same concept. David Spangler, father of the New Age, he wrote about the invocation of Lucifer, and how we talked about the spirits on the other side of the veil. Well, we could say they've been leaking in and leaking in and leaking in, but now the dam is about to break spiritually. And the wave of deception will be instead of the frog in the kettle approach, it will be so persuasive. That's why I think that millions and millions are listening, and they don't understand the spiritual force and dynamics or conclusions that this involves.
Now, this internal awakening that Eckhart Tolle teaches and that the New Agers talk about, what exactly does that entail? How does one go about, well, maybe that's the wrong way of putting it. What do they describe as this awakening? Is this just a meditation process? I mean, what is it, what do they try to accomplish here with the encouragement to awaken this internal Christ consciousness?
It's primarily that. So they're looking, again, the old Hinduistic idea of looking within, and he's going to creep up on you as you read the book concerning, explaining as you're looking within and looking within, and eventually you're going to find the original self. You're going to be awakened to basically the light within, the light that you are, and the concept of light that he's not boldly coming out and saying is the idea of God within, or that you are God, or you will evolve or become God. So when we see this kind of thing, instead of turning people's eyes, like for example, Isaiah, even Moses or the Apostle Paul or Matthew, the apostles and prophets and so forth, even New Testament angels, they all pointed to Christ. They pointed to the monogenesis, the one and only, this incomparable person that came. They all pointed that direction. What Eckhart's telling you to do is look away from that direction and look within for all that you need to find concerning, when you discover the light within, somehow that brings an awakening and you begin to realize that you should be more peaceful. And see, throughout it, this is the hard part. He will begin to use, even in the first chapter and all the way through, he'll say, and Jesus did say, you must lose yourself to find yourself. But he quotes in the sense of looking within and finding the light. And once you find that light, you've lost the outward ego, the outward form, and you've now discovered the real, and therefore you must lose your basically old life and find the new, which is completely nullifying everything Jesus said and changing it to meet a pantheistic New Age spirituality. Jesus, when he talked about losing your life for his sake, for Christ's, and for the gospel, then we would find it. So it's something completely different that he does. Even when he quotes and talks about a new heaven, new earth, he'll come straight out and say, right in the book, he'll say, heaven is not a place. Heaven is not a location. Heaven is about a coming to that awakening and realizing that it's here among us, and that the new earth isn't really a new earth. It's really a new earth that has come about as an externalization of our acquiring, kind of like heaven within. The new earth is a new reflection of our connecting to this new awakening.
That's
and
dominion.
Therefore they,
yes, that's dominionism.
Yes.
That's and where so, the New so, Age meets evangelical Christianity.
Right. Yeah. And that's the sad thing, because in both the book of Peter talks about a new heaven and a new earth. This is the glory. This is the glorious message for all the for all those who care about the environment, for all those who care about the world in which we live. God cares about it even more. In the book of Revelation, it talks about how he's going to deal with those who have literally raped the earth, that a new heaven, a new earth is coming about based on the fact that Jesus, the Son of God, the highest spiritual being that ever lived, God in flesh, has acquired, I mean, by that death and resurrection, that kind of, I want to say sealed the deal, but was the victory that has won an actual new earth and an actual new heavens because of the war and the battle and the things that have corrupted it. So there will be a real new earth that will be astounding, and a real new heavens that will be astounding. And this is what the biblical revelation gives, as in, you know, again, this is why I always say New Age and old Gnosticism and those kind of spiritualities, those alternative spiritualities, are still cubic zirconium in comparison to the diamond that is in biblical revelation, and it comes from the heart and the being of a relational God.
You know, that's a really good way to explain that, cubic zirconium instead of a real diamond. And that's exactly what we're seeing. I mean, Scripture tells us, we have been warned in advance that seducing spirits would come in with doctrines of demons and lies, and they would teach all sorts of heresies and false Jesus. But God is allowing it. He literally sends a delusional spirit among us so that those who are willing will believe a lie.
Exactly. Ultimately, that's exactly the truth. Because again, in the same scripture that's a part of, it says they perish because they refuse to believe the truth. And that's the difference. Is Eckhart Tolle's materials the truth? Is he higher than Jesus? Is he higher than Isaiah and Moses? Is he higher than the Apostle John? Is he more spiritual than all of them? That's what would be portrayed in his book. That he would be, you know, what he's portraying as a new alternative spirituality. Then, if he's correct, then all the others have to be incorrect, and that's again the mark of a cult, the mark of deception. The mark of the rejection of the real, truth, and proposing an alternative. This is what occurred in the garden, and you guys have really been good at exposing the issue of that core Luciferian lie of a promised alternative spirituality that involves an evolution of humanity spiritually and consciously and so forth, but it's never happened. The finite has never been able to evolve into the infinite, ever.
Now, the question I have, and this is really, and Russ, you probably deal with this as well, as you've come out of the New Age. I was never into the New Age, but I spent a lot of years sort of believing in an almost New Age-like God who just sort of sat off in the distance and sort of watched over us, passively without intervening in human affairs. So when I, through the Holy Spirit, came to a clearer understanding of the historic evidence for the truth claims of Christianity, that Jesus really did live, die, and perform the miracles and teach the things that he taught as recorded in the New Testament, that those things are actually true, which then requires the response on my part, required a response on my part. When I see for example, there's a YouTube video that we will probably link to in the week's featured video at PID Radio when we post this show, of a woman calling into Oprah's show. It's been featured on the internet, and I think it's worth watching. A lady who claimed to have been raised as a Roman Catholic, asking how Oprah could rationalize reconcile I know it's an R. reconcile her Christian upbringing with the teachings of Eckhart Tolle. And Oprah goes into this long rationalization of how the ideas are not incompatible. And clearly a lot of people are receptive to this message, Russ. And just statistically, you'd have to believe a lot of them were raised with Christian doctrine. Why do you think, because I'm having trouble understanding how people can be so deceived, why do you think so many people are open to this type of New Age Luciferian doctrine after growing up in a Christian church?
That's a core issue. That is what needs to be touched. I believe because, again, in the structured church, in the sense of just institutional and so forth, everybody knows, or at least should know, that many people that go have never come to know God and have had that experience of a living Christ coming in, being what Jesus called being born again, which is really truly the most incredible and unparalleled spiritual transformation ever. It involves the life of God coming in and a change within and the gift of eternity given. So individuals that have not received Jesus in that sense but have been involved in institutional Christianity, whereas Christianity seems to be mystical and God does seem to be far away and it's not real to them, and they don't really – and therefore they don't really know the Bible or whatever. It's just kind of religion to them, and it doesn't satisfy because it – that's not what's meant to satisfy. Sitting in a church building, looking at statues, or feeling mystical is not the answer. So if a person doesn't have the real thing, but has at least fondness for God, for Christian, you know, for Christ, for the Bible, well, then getting some of this information from Eckhart Tolle and Oprah will appeal to that. Because it's offering them some kind of touch, some kind of spirituality they feel they can experience, and that's part of the issue of that prophecy from 2,000 years ago that you already quoted, Sharon, out of Timothy 4:1, that the Spirit of God, the Holy Spirit, the infinite Spirit of God, says expressly, clearly, that in the latter days that there would be many that would leave the faith, the faith referring to not a personal faith, but the faith. And they would leave it based on teachings. Now notice this. It says that, you know, the teaching, the didache of demons comes through hypocritical liars, and they're going to listen to that teaching. It's a spiritual teaching. It's a teaching that is a clear, you know, it's a message. It has content to it, and it's got a mission behind it. But there's going to be vessels like Eckhart Tolle that it comes through. So I think that when Oprah stands up and talks about how they're similar, not only is either she is extremely, extremely naive, to me it tells me this is somebody who's never come to know the living personal Christ and knows how to walk with God and fellowship with God and feel the presence of God and know that Christ lives in them. And that's true of Eckhart Tolle. When I read his materials, and I'm saying this as a pastor of 30 years, as a believer of 33 years, he doesn't know God. And you can't proclaim the living personal God without knowing him anyway. So there's alternatives. This is an alternative whose source, the Holy Spirit says, is in dark, seducing, very, very, again, remember, these are masters at seduction, and they can come out as an angel of light in the style of their teaching or in the feel of their teaching, but in the end, it will bite their eternal soul the way it did in the garden, you know, so many thousands of years ago.
Well, you know, this teaching is so dangerous on so many levels. You have a video posted at your website right now in your April, I think it's the April 1st issue. It's part two of this series on the Tolle book. And the video is of Tolle teaching Oprah Winfrey how to empty herself. That is such an incredibly dangerous activity. You empty yourself. It's like opening the doors and windows and saying, come on in, boys, to the spiritual realm.
Right. Just as God gives. God, the Bible says, both in the Old Testament, come to me, all ye ends of the earth, and be saved, for I am God and there's no other. Or in the New Testament, God summons all men everywhere to metanoia, to a change. It's called repentance, but it literally means a total change. If people are looking for a total change, God has an answer for that, and he calls from the outward to come objectively to him. This, when I heard do that, you know, a very thing on that video you're referring to, it took me back to when I was, you know, a Taoist Buddhist in the Hopsing Temple and learning from Master Aung and being told in that position I was in to empty myself, to become very spiritually passive, to open myself, mm-hmm. and to get real calm. I mean, there was breathing exercises that we did, and it was all about becoming so emptied, so passive, to where your mind becomes so stilled that you're waiting and waiting and waiting and waiting and waiting for something eventually. That, to me, is an event. I don't want to call it evangelism, but evangelism is a call, but a call from the other side saying, you know, no discernment, no, you know, just simply completely lose yourself and quiet yourself and allow what we want to happen to happen.
Mm-hmm.
And the influence begins to come into that passivity of soul.
It's like having your computer on the network, deactivating all of your antivirus software,
mm-hmm.
Opening all the ports.
Yeah.
And removing the password protection and just saying, okay, I think I'll just wait and see what happens.
Exactly. You're exactly right.
That's a really good analogy.
And so, right, there's no protection. You know, what we need is in the spirituality, and I don't mind calling that Christ brings, the Spirit of God. I mean, knowing God is a spiritual, he is spirit. And those who worship him must worship him in spirit and truth. It is God that offers a peace. Jesus said he gives a peace that doesn't come from this world, that literally comes out of the heavens, out of his source, out of him. And so if we want to talk about being a peace, or like in the Old Testament says, be still and know that I'm God, it doesn't say become passive, empty yourself, and wait till anything influences. It's really be still, and there's a focusing objectively on the personal living God who does have not only peace for now and becoming at peace with God and finding peace within. I love the Greek word eirene, meaning peace, meaning the cessation of hostilities. And God wants to give that kind of peace. And what is being offered is an alternative. It's, again, a preoccupation and a distraction from the truth that will never lead a person to the face and to the heart and into a relationship with God.
Mm-hmm.
Russ, a lot of the people being drawn into this New Age deception are really not open to hearing evangelizing or not open to traditional church teachings. And that's why I suspect that's why so many are responding to this, what they perceive as new spirituality, which, of course, we know is just the same old lie being repackaged. And of course, Oprah is a very charming and likable personality who appeals to a large segment of the population. How do we as Christians then talk to people who have bought into this in a loving way and say, look, you're being fooled?
Right. I think three things: bold, spiritually warfare-oriented prayer against the seducing side, the spiritually, you know, pray for that to really be exposed to what it is, because, and the power behind this teaching. It is not just a teaching. There's spiritual presence on that teaching, and that's why, you know, people are being gripped by it, too. I think the second thing is unleashing the compassionate, but we have to unleash this, compassionate but unparalleled message. It's called the good news. God didn't come to send his son in the world to condemn the world, but to save it. So there is a message that is the spiritual message of the ages that flows out of the heavens, that God loves humanity and literally wants humanity, not willing that anybody perish, but that all come. This is, you know, good and pleases God our Savior, who wills all men to be saved and come to a knowledge of the truth. So we see the heart of God, this passion, like of the New Testament disciples, a passion to tell people that, you know what, God is knowable. God is really knowable, and God really does love you, and God really cares about you now and for all eternity. And take a look at Jesus. And that's what I think we need to do, is keep focusing on Jesus as the unparalleled, unequaled, not only spiritual teacher, but what he did and what he said and who he was and is unparalleled. That's what needs to be proclaimed, because power is in the good news, the gospel. And then I think the third thing is that we got to do what Peter did on the day of Pentecost. Maybe that we needed to shake up this delusion. I don't want to say like a bull in the china shop, but he did say after the day of Pentecost, he says he warned them and pleaded with them. I'm not sure anybody's willing to step in and just plead with Oprah and plead with Eckhart and get them to examine. I think that maybe on one side of all this, there needs to be such a warning, such a passionate pouring into this deception, because it involves the eternal destiny. And I think looking into a person's face and telling them it's not about me being right over against you being wrong. It's about God being right, and that God has an answer, and that we have to see that message that is unparalleled in power, and God backs it with all, you know, with all kinds of convincing proof. When I say that, I mean the Holy Spirit will speak to hearts, and he'll move in hearts. And without that, I don't think anybody's going to be able to cut through that spiritual deception.
You know, I'm glad you opened your 3 points with prayer at first, because just to, you know, tell tales on myself, my way of thinking, again, the old way of thinking, was what can I do in order to influence others, instead of how do we implore, you know, and petition God and the Holy Spirit to influence people? Because ultimately, it's the Holy Spirit that's going to do the work, not me. But that, again, is the whole point of the problem here. People looking to themselves for salvation or spiritual influence rather than turning to the one true God. And so
sure.
I'm glad you answered the question that way, Russ, because as you were answering, I'm thinking, oh, boy, see, I'm still not thinking the right way in how we approach this problem.
Well, no, I think what you're saying, because look at Philip. That's where I point everybody is that wants to reach out. There was Samaria that had a guy there that he claimed to be the great power. It says that he literally was amazing, all of the high and the low people. The whole city was captivated by this guy's spirituality. And then you have Philip, a second-generation Christian, explicitly obedient to Jesus, going in there. Here's what we can do, and here's what you and I and Sharon, all of us that are believers, can do. We are carriers of the kingdom in a sense too. The prayers are vital and needful, but it is true. What can we do? We can do like Philip. We can step out. We can. The only way the power of God will be manifested is if it's unleashed. The message in the message is a power that is unparalleled. In the message is the voice of God, whereas we're like ambassadors through whom God literally is appealing through us. So that's why I'm not afraid. I wouldn't be afraid to sit down with Eckhart directly and appeal to him. I would not just sit there quietly. I would have to appeal to him to allow the expressed presence of the living personal God to come through.
You know, it's so true, though. We Derek said it, we want to do it ourselves. And I know, Russ, if you had a chance to sit down with Eckhart Tolle, you would share the gospel message with him. But not everybody's going to have a chance to do that. And your first point of prayer is so to the point, because we're told the Holy Spirit does the striving. The Holy
Sure.
Spirit is the one that leads people to Christ. And if we can pray for a person, it's amazing what the Holy Spirit can do without a human being talking to that person.
Absolutely. I agree. I when I look at Eckhart and I look at I was looking at some new YouTube videos on he and others and even new movie stars. I think it was involved now in starting to share the message of the new Earth thing. And I look at that and I think, you know what? I don't know about everybody else, but I'm excited to share about who Jesus is. There's no shame whatsoever concerning who he is. What wrong did he do to anybody? Take a look at him. If people are really looking for some kind of peace, if they're looking, if they realize that they're stuck in their own consciousness, and if they think, well, Eckhart Tolle's right, we are dysfunctional. Well, that dysfunction is described in the revelation of Scripture. And there is a breach that caused our spirits to go dead before God. And we're dead before God. And I think Eckhart recognizes that there's something wrong. He just has the absolute wrong answer to the problem.
You know, this is a corollary that's just going to sound off the beaten path and like I've suddenly taken a nosedive to the left. I really am not, folks. Russ, you and I, actually, you and Derek exchanged emails about the Ghost Hunters episode that was on a Wednesday night.
Yeah.
Where they went into Wright-Patterson. Well, it's television shows like that that are helping to forward this notion that there is a spiritual realm that somehow is glamorous and tangible and not harmful in any way. These are just benevolent spirits that just are sort of stuck. And they're, you know, if you just don't bother them, they won't bother you. Very rarely on that show do you hear them say anything about this is a demonic presence. I think only one or two shows they've said that. And even then, they don't speak to it biblically. They just sort of, well, you know, this is something, if you don't bother it, it won't bother you.
Or they go through and they have a ritual performed in the house where they do a cleansing.
Where I'm going with this is that we're getting a lot of stuff bombarded at us, our kids, our teens, ourselves, coming from televisions, not just Oprah Winfrey, that's telling us that we're part of a spiritual realm. And, you know, it's just way beyond this Jesus stuff. What a crock of lies.
Yeah, as Oprah said, we need to take God out of the box, out of the God box that she'd put him in and allow him to be bigger. The irony of this whole thing is that Oprah, during one television show years ago, said that she didn't believe Jesus came and proclaimed himself to be God because she didn't think that Jesus was that egotistical. Now, I'm paraphrasing, of course. But the irony of all this is that the teaching that she's putting forth now through her online class, A Course in Miracles with Marianne Williamson, and the Eckhart Tolle courses, the web classes that she's teaching, are teaching that, okay, Jesus isn't God, but you are. How is that not egotistical?
Not only is it egotistical, but it, once again, it shows us a very slim and shabby God. If we're God, we're in trouble. Here's again where she lacks probably knowing Jesus. Because how could you betray Jesus like that if you really knew him? It's got to come from somebody that only had an outward – you know how the Bible even talks about they have a form of godliness but deny the power. Mm-hmm. And if that's true, then for them it's not real because they've never accepted the message or the person in the message. And the difficulty is she just recognized that 700 years before Jesus came – from the prophet Isaiah, he said about Messiah, he talked about how the spirit of the sovereign Lord would be upon him, that he'd be anointed to preach good news to the poor, you know, set captives free and do this incredible ministry that he did. Jesus, when he was here, walked into a synagogue, the scroll of Isaiah was opened, and that portion was read. The spirit of the sovereign Lord is upon me, for he has anointed me to preach good news to the poor, you know, about healing and setting captives free and everything else. And he says right in front of them all, today, this has been fulfilled in your hearing. What was he saying?
He was saying
I am God in human flesh.
And they went nuts.
Mm-hmm. And they went nuts. You know, they did go nuts. Now, who did say that Isaiah said that he is Emmanuel, God in human flesh. Mm-hmm. The angels bowed down and worshiped and proclaimed him Savior. We find all these apostles and prophets, even in the New Testament, Abigus and others, there's those that proclaim. There's signs and wonders proclaim. Mm-hmm. All of nature, he demonstrated by power over nature, creation listened to and obeyed Jesus Christ because they recognized him as the creator in human flesh, though.
Absolutely.
And so this is, again, a complete missing of the real. And it's sad and alarming. And Jesus said, what would it profit them, Eckhart or Oprah, if they gain the whole world in a wrong way and lose their soul? And they're in danger of that very, you know, principle.
You know, Oprah Winfrey is going to have to account for how she has spent this amazing wealth and influence she has been given.
Exactly.
She's been doing this for a long, long time. I mean, going back over 20 years. She did a show in September of 1987 in which she brought a collection of New Age thinkers onto her show. And one of the things that came out of that and one of the common threads that I see in the little reading I've done on the New Age is that they try to co-opt Jesus as just another New Age thinker, one of the leading New Age spiritualists in history. How do people like Tolle and others in the New Age movement, Russ, try to use the teachings of Jesus for their own purposes?
Well, it always comes in this way. Just like the Gnostics of the early church, they did the exact same thing. If anybody looks at the pseudepigraphic writings, the Gospel, you know, of Mary or, you know, James and all these other ones that they, you know, starting to unearth or bring about now, it's the same thing occurred. When there's a complete and total rejection of the real Christ and the answer that God has given, then alternatives can be developed. Now, the source of the alternative is always in dark spirits. That's where it originates, because man cannot produce out of our own fallen state a spiritual empire. But we can receive it. We can receive the Spirit of the living God as the gift that Jesus gives when we receive him, or we can receive spirits. We have the capacity. We're created to be spiritual beings. But who we open up to ultimately, and the realization is that there is two agendas going. You know, God does have a mission. That's why 300 million Chinese have turned to the living Christ and worship Jesus and love him. And that can be said of millions all over the world. But the other side of the story is the Bible not only reveals it and God gives us, you know, the intelligence report ahead of time. We call it prophecy of the satanic agenda, the mission of Satan is to deceive, is to provide alternatives, distractions, and then to use those whom he has influenced to influence others. And the sad part of this is, though, that it's moving towards that. Marilyn Ferguson, the, you know, David Spangler, the Luciferian Invocation, the Alice Bailey, the Madam, you know, Helena Blavatsky's. All of them, from their spiritual sources, have talked about a coming evolution. So much so did Alice Bailey talk about it that she said that if the real Christians out there don't accept this spiritual evolution, that there's a need, because we're the ones holding it back, she says that there's a need for a cleansing. And she literally proclaimed she got this from the Ascended Masters, and that cleansing is annihilation.
Well, that takes us into another area that you are so, you know, knowledgeable about. You've really specialized in this and brought it to the forefront on our show and others, and that's the Black Awakening. Do you think that will be used for this cleansing?
I believe that definitely. Matter of fact, those that I've dealt with and talked that are a part of the coming Black Awakening, those who are going to be involved and trained for it and have been trained for it, that's part of their, you know, four-point tier, is clearly elimination, cleansing, the idea of getting out of the way the spiritual opposition. And if they can clear, you know, a lot of that out of the way, then and only then could the Antichrist actually rise to power without massive spiritual and by sheer numbers opposition.
Well, you know, we watched. Yeah. Oh, well, I'm sorry. Go ahead.
No, I'm just saying. Yeah, I'm just saying that that's correct. I think that the spiritual emergence has to be there for the blinding, and then when the physical side of that breaks out, because biblically prophesied, it won't be just Eckhart Tolle's, you know, spiritual alternative peace movement or New Earth movement that will change the world. It won't happen, but it will deceive and pacify enough people to open the way to this ultimate chaos will break out. And even Luciferians and Masons say that a cleansing chaos needs to come so that a new world order can emerge.
Yeah, the order out of chaos. They love that. They love that slogan. Well, we watched a show last night. It's those of you who have listened to us for very long, you know we love sci-fi. And we watch Doctor Who all the time. Well, there's a new show called The Sarah Jane Chronicles, which was based on one of the companions from years ago. And the show last night, the premiere, was along this very line. There was an energy drink called Bubble Shock. This Bubble Shock contained an ingredient that actually allowed alien life forms, in this case, to control all of these kids.
Wow.
And at the flip of a switch, they could suddenly order the kids to do whatever they wanted to. And Derek and I looked at each other and we went, oh my gosh, it's the Black Awakening.
Well, see, and that's part of the issue. And that's why, again, once we know the content biblically, if we know it well, and then we look, like again, the heroes of the past, I believe, with his prophets and so forth, the Old Testament, we read in 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 10, how they searched intently and with the greatest care, the Old Testament scriptures, to see about when the first coming of Christ was going to come. And it says, by the Spirit of Christ, it was, you know, in them pointing, you know, to these biblical revelations. And so they were led by the Spirit of Christ, which is kind of unique because in the physical level, Christ didn't even show up yet. But the Spirit of Christ, which again points to the preexistence of Christ, anyway, was leading them to look at these prophecies with the most careful and intense look to see when these things would occur. I think that if we have done that well with Scripture, then we look around us with Spirit-lit eyes, biblically literate eyes and mind and heart, that we will see. If you look into the military, if you look into the governmental global process, if you look into New Age and just simply political globalism and all those different veins, even science technology, is moving in that direction. Dean Radin, with his book on the living universe or the conscious universe, the concepts are all merging towards what the old occultists said about a evolution of not only personal but globally leveled spiritual, you know, a higher consciousness, a higher evolved spiritual being, and so forth. That we're all moving in that direction. But listen, here's a key point. Eckhart Tolle, Oprah, and many of the others don't ultimately tell you where that ultimate spiritual evolution and so forth will lead you. I mean, what you will actually be like in the end. No death. It doesn't deal with the issue of death, doesn't deal with the issue of living forever. It doesn't deal with any of that. But it blinds you from thinking about it.
Well, of course, there's another Eastern teaching that says, don't worry about it. You're going to come back again and again and again.
Yeah, there is. You're absolutely right. And again, the source of reincarnation, which needs to be challenged, because I deeply appreciate what George Norrie said on Coast to Coast just a month ago. Matter of fact, when I was in California at Sunset Beach, I was listening one night, and I heard him say, he was talking to someone about time travel, whatever, that if there was any time in history he'd be, he'd love to be right there when Jesus was dying on the cross. And he said he wishes that he could be there so that he can try to get, you know, take Jesus down. And then George Norrie said this, but I don't think he would let me. And I said, hooray, George. I said, I just out loud said, hooray. I said, you're right, George. He wouldn't let you take him down because the work that he was doing was for you and for the sum total of humanity. And that was an incredible revelation of a seeker.
I hope he follows that thought through to his logical conclusion.
Sure. I agree. If people would just know, and again, just months before my father died, how hardened he was to even listen to me about the gospel, one thing that kind of woke him up was I sat there and I looked at him and I said, Dad, if God would just make himself visible and stand here in front of you and look at you, he would say, Carl, I love you, you know, and all this is for real, and I want you. And it's almost as though that he kind of got the picture then of John 3:16. And that's how real it should be to us and how real we need to make it to individuals that God absolutely, so totally, completely loved humanity. Eckhart Tolle does Jesus massive dishonor when he quotes him, when he talks about him. He it's literally that he is just mixed Jesus by reinterpreting, reframing, and nullifying his words and pushing him out of the way. And so Eckhart doesn't see his birth as an incarnation like none other, his life sinless and winning over everything and nature, you know, bowing down and everything, sickness, you know, listening to his orders and the demonic realm being revealed. Eckhart misses it, and those who are listening now are hearing a different spiritual voice. Question is, do they want to take that to the grave?
Eckhart Tolle and others in the New Age movement use Jesus as selected quotes from Jesus to support their case. Is it unusual? Is it unique among cults to use Jesus and say, yeah, he said all these things, but that's not quite what he meant, and here's the real truth. Is it unusual for this tactic, for them to use this tactic, instead of just coming out and saying Jesus was wrong?
No, it's not. Matter of fact, if they just came out and said Jesus was wrong, then they'd be in bigger trouble. It'd be more of a conflict. What they do is again, there's a method behind this madness, and 2 Corinthians reveals that Paul, and like all of us as believers, he says, we are not unaware of Satan's methodology. It's the Greek word, methodology. The scheme. He has a method to his madness, and part of that example in Genesis 3, when Eve quoted the word of God that would have protected the human race, Satan countered it and twisted it and said, no, it's not true. This is what's really true. When Satan came to confront Jesus in Matthew 4, Jesus quoted a scripture. Satan would seek to turn that scripture around, nullify its importance, and get Jesus to break it. Jesus will quote another scripture and stand on the true meaning of that scripture. But in each case, there was an attempt to nix the original meaning and replace it with an alternative meaning that would – the end role of that would be to break the very meaning of the scripture and to lose its impact. And that's the method, whether you see this in Sun, Myung, Moon, in the Moonies – whether, you know, when I've confronted their people and dealt with them, I look at any kind of divine light mission. I look at old cults that we dealt with and so forth. The same thing is true. Even these weird cults out west that had all the little girls and the sexuality and God's coming, you know, all the twisting of scripture. Satan is the master of that in that kingdom. If people do not realize that radical evil, there's a personage behind, an intelligence behind, that intelligence, biblical scripture reveals, he probably knows scripture better than any scholar.
Oh, yeah.
And he knows prophecy. He knows prophecy well. But he'll never use it in its true sense. He'll quote it with an immediate agenda to nix its meaning, replace it, reframe it, so that somebody cannot or will not be able to accept it for what it is, and then accept the alternative, which always lends itself to destruction and death. That's part of the evidence of false spiritual teaching, is that there would be – they would use the scriptures not in the sense of saying it's wrong, and throw it out, but instead quoting it like Satan did himself, but twisting it, misusing it, and guiding people in a different direction. – And that's where the audacity comes in, and where our failure without Christ, without knowing the power of the word ourselves and standing, that's the audacity of the enemy. He'll use it as he did in the beginning again and again, and that's what we see here. It's a Luciferian lie reframed in and through the vessel Eckhart Tolle.
You know, Russ, there are many people listening to us right now that may not know Jesus Christ as personal Savior. And listening to you talking about, you know, rightly dividing the word of truth, knowing how to tell a lie when Satan is twisting it, that person may be thinking, well, you know, I really don't know all that stuff. How can I possibly know Jesus if I don't know the Bible very well? You don't have to start there. Can you just tell everybody how it is you get to know Jesus as personal Savior?
Sure. Again, on the one side, there's a simplicity. It is that God has moved in history, moved in this fallen world. We all recognize there's something wrong, that we're cut off. But the Bible simply says that God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, or his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him would not perish but have eternal life. God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world. So if you understand the message that God does love you, that Jesus came for you, he says he came to seek and save that which is lost. He's looking for you, and he wants you, and he died as a substitute and wielded such a power that would open the doors to heaven. In other words, here's the offer. God says he loves you. He wants to come into your life. He wants to completely, instantly, totally forgive you on the basis of Jesus taking your place, that he wants to give you the gift of his presence, the Spirit of God to come inside your life, which includes a new nature, a power for living. The Bible would consider it a regeneration or a transformation unlike anything, that would be brought back to knowing the God that created us. And how does all that occur? Accepting the living Christ. He died, he was buried, rose from the dead on the third day, and the Bible proclaimed that he would 1,000 years prior to his coming. And he's been alive ever since. That's why millions and millions and millions have believed on him. I know him personally. Derek knows him personally. Sharon knows the living, personal Christ. And receiving him, Jesus, come into my life right now. I recognize you as Lord and Savior. I want you. Come into my life. That's the beginning. As you ask him to come in, he'll give you the gift of the Spirit and open your eyes, your spiritual eyes, to the Word of God. And you'll be made alive to God. And you will be literally become a child of God with the promise and the gift indwelling, the gift of eternal life indwelling in your life. And that's all for anyone and everyone. The Bible says, whosoever calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved.
Amen to that. Russ has a series on the teachings being put out by Oprah Winfrey with the help of New Age gurus Eckhart Tolle and Marianne Williamson at his website, shatterthedarkness.net. And that's where you'll find out more about his Shatter the Darkness Ministries, in which Russ and his team basically grapple hand-to-hand combat with the enemy, just as Paul talked about in Ephesians 6:12. It's not a wrestling match against flesh and blood. It's a spiritual wrestling match, and this is just one of the places where the spiritual rubber is meeting the road. Oprah affecting millions of people through her television show, through her online seminars, through her XM radio channel, and the Course in Miracles that's being taught. And, boy, the word needs to get out, and as Russ rightly recommended, a lot of prayer that the Holy Spirit will open the eyes of discerning Christians around the United States to just reject this false teaching coming from these lying spirits. Russ, we appreciate your work, and boy, it's always an education and honor to get you on PID Radio.
So where are you going next?
We leave in a week and a half for Roswell, New Mexico.
Oh, my. So what are you going to do in Roswell?
This time I'm either by myself. I'm going to do a little, it's a REAP trip for me. Do a little event, 3 days, evangelism, prayer stuff, and, just some things I need to research and check into, which I'll give a report on. I don't want to say too much ahead of time, but I'll give a report on in the newsletter when I come back. And then I have some friends work for the government, you know, the other side of the government. they're flying. They're flying. Actually bought me a ticket to fly out to Roswell again on the big historic festival in July. I think it's something like the 2nd through the 5th or something like that. and all those speakers. And now the city, for the first time in all that history, is going to back the whole festival. Now thousands and thousands will come. I would love to see 500 Christians come down there to share the compassionate but true and powerful and awesome message of Jesus. We'll be there in 2 weeks, and then we'll be back there in a couple of months.
Well, we'll have to get Guy Malone on the show to talk about what's going on at Ground Zero. They're live from Roswell.
Good guy. He's a good guy.
Yeah. Well, that we just about run out of time. If you've got any questions or comments for us, you can address those by email to radio@peeringintodarkness.com.
And you can always join the forum. I believe it's, we'll have the link to that at the bottom of the show notes at radio, pidradio.com. It's Piercing the Darkness Forum. Mm-hmm. Do you know the URL?
It's palmpage.com/PTD.
Well, you're good.
Yeah, but it will be linked in the show notes at pidradio.com.
And, of course, shatterthedarkness.net. You don't want to miss Russ's website. Go there. He's got all kinds of good stuff there.
And until next time, I'm Derek Gilbert.
I'm Sharon Gilbert. Bye-bye, everybody.
Cutting-edge news and analysis on demand. This is PID Radio.